Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Delve right into the Word this morning, starting with a passage in Acts. Just as Jesus is getting ready to leave the scene, as it were, praise God. His disciples are gathered around, they're excited, thinking, all right, well, Jesus is here, now we're going to kick Rome out of power and get this thing going. And Jesus, told them, to tarry, that in Jerusalem, that they'd receive power. But it goes on to say in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, now when he, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they watched, his disciples, he, again Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Praise God. So it's quite a sight. I mean, if you can imagine that, Jesus just ascending, breaking the law of gravity with his glorified body, which we saw do other amazing things, the ability to appear and disappear and still eat fish, and it's a glorified body, that ability to be fully in contact with the spiritual and physical world simultaneously. It's an amazing thing. The Bible says one day our bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. But we see the final amazing act is this ascension. He just ascends. He ascends into heaven. And the disciples are amazed. They're looking up. And that's one of the just most profound promises. Why are you looking up? This same Jesus who was taken from you will so come in like manner. So in the same way you saw him go up, you're going to see him descend. You saw him ascend, he's going to descend. And the Apostle Paul kind of gives us some more insight into that. Fast forward to Thessalonians. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow, are those words comforting? They're supposed to be. Praise God. Declared by the word of the Lord. This thing is going to happen. Prophetically, we get a little bit more insight. The angels just said he's coming up again in like manner, but Paul gives us even more insight to some of the other surrounding stuff as it relates to him descending with those who've gone before in him to receive those who are his. I'm trying to think, it was a couple of nights ago, I had a dream, and it was a cool dream, a spiritual dream, But then I read in Joel where in the last days your old men will dream dreams. I thought, man, I know, you know, those signs that you begin to look at that you're getting old. And I was really happy about the dream. I thought, all right. I don't take it as a, you know, backhanded compliment, but it was a good thing. But I got a dream. All right. And it's one of those things where, you know, I wasn't expecting to dream what I dreamed than anything. I'm just, you know, going to sleep that night the way I did any other night. And it's just, like I said, a few nights ago. And I'm just walking along, and it was just, you know how dreams are. They're kind of weird anyway, but I'm just, it was dark. And it was my dad and my brother, and we were just kind of walking, kind of like along a wooded hillside. And as we were just walking along there, you know, it's almost like, for me, the only thing that I could connect it to was deer hunting. Because that's what we would do. We'd be out in the woods together, me and my dad and my brother, deer hunting. And I almost kind of had that feel, only it wasn't winter, and it was dark outside. So that was kind of strange. And we're just kind of walking along. And all of a sudden, just kind of out of the corner of my eye, I see some lights kind of on the lower section of the sky. And it's like a cluster. I don't know the way to explain it. There was just like this cluster of circular sprite lights just kind of turning. And we kind of looked at that, and we all saw it together. And we looked at it, it was like, wow. I mean, the first thing your mind does is go, wow, that's shooting stars. It's a comet. It's just something, you know, you're just trying to connect the dots between what you're seeing, which seems so amazing, to what you know. And, you know, right about the time we're just trying to surmise what it could be, I mean, this just happened quick. All of a sudden, there's another cluster there and there and there and there and there around. And all of a sudden, it was just like, as soon as I began to see it, all of a sudden, my natural thinking noodle went, tilt, no, this is nothing like anything I can explain, or anything, nothing, zero, I'm gone. I mean, mentally, I got no arguments in a moment of time. And I'm just seeing this, and it's like, all of a sudden, the thought dawns, I mean, could this be Jesus? I mean, no sooner did I complete the thought, could this be Jesus coming back, than I heard a shout. I mean, it was like, it was loud. You know, when you think of the choir, it's not like the angelic choir going, ah, no, nothing like that. It was like I heard something. I heard the shout, the trumpet and the shout. It was like a simultaneous, just like it was a loud sound. And it wasn't chaotic. It was victorious. It was deliberate. It was declared. It was piercing. And I could hear that, and I could just, in a moment, I could see Jesus, the glory of God in Jesus descending from heaven to earth. And it was like, wow, I'm just like, I'm seeing the glory of God. I'm thinking, this is really happening. This is really, really happening. And my mind is going, well, yeah, the Bible said it would happen. Yeah, but it's really happening. And the glory of God and just, it was just amazing. I'm standing there. I'm stunned. I'm amazed. But you know, and the thing of it was, is when something like that just happened, you know, Jesus said, the coming of the Son, it's going to be like the day of Noah. You know, people are going to be marrying and giving in marriage, different things like that. It's going to be every kind of a day. And it came on just kind of an ordinary day. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, wow, praise God, this is amazing. The amazing visual, the sound, as dramatic and powerful as it was, you know, on the inside, I was amazed, overwhelmed, but on the very inside, I was like, praise God, praise God, praise God, this is it, this is it, this is it. Huh. And I did have a thought, I'm really glad I know God. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Praise God. And I sensed that. And there was just, it was amazing. It was an awesome reality check of the glory of God. And I'll tell you what, it was interesting how when that happened, you know, and it was just taking it all in, the next thought in my mind was, I'm going to get a new body. And I don't know why. Again, this is a dream, all right? I'm not going to explain. This is not a vision, by the way. This is a dream, all right? This is a dream that I just had that was very, you know, at the time, one of those dreams that is so real, you could just like, you know, you really don't know you're dreaming. It's just that. And all of a sudden, in the moment of time, when I realized, I spread out my hands like this. I don't know what, like if I was going to fly or something, whatever, but it was simultaneous. I spread out my hands and go, I'm going to get a new body. And I was like, I was bracing myself for what this sensation was going to be like when this vile body would be fashioned like unto his glorious body. New territory, right? I mean, nobody's ever done this before. And so it's like, I just didn't even quite know what to expect. And it's all that, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, because what I'm doing is when I'm seeing Jesus, I'm seeing him off in the distance. I'm seeing him in the center, off in the distance. You know, it's nighttime. I guess, you know, if it's daytime in Jerusalem when he comes, it'd be nighttime here. I don't know how to correlate that. Like I said, I'm not saying that it's a precise prophetic, you know, thing to take every jot and tittle of it. But I'm just saying, when I saw that his glory, and this is the cool thing, in the nighttime, it like lit up the sky. I mean, it was dark, and then he came down, and then it was just bright. And you could see him. I could still see the circumference of my vision on the earth, but I could see him and I could look at him. And that's kind of when I did this, you know, and I began to realize I'm going up, or, you know, I'm getting changed here. And then the cool thing was is that, you know, because I'm, you know, as you're looking at things, here's the strange thing. After I did this, and I said, I'm gonna get changed, I had the sensation. That was the last time in this whole dream I even thought about my body. It was interesting. I mean, while I was still in my body like this, I had a thought of it. But then, you know, it's like the Apostle Paul said, you know, what happened next is kind of like Paul said, when he was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. It's the exact same way it was with the dream. It's like whether the rest of the dream, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, and who cares? Because it's not about what you're feeling. It's about what you're seeing. It's about what you're taking in. It's you, when you're taking in, you're seeing something. And so in this dream, I'm here, I'm on the earth, I'm taking it in, and then what happens next is something that is just totally, you know, I know I'm in the spirit, one way or the other. But this morning, just kind of leading up, we're going to talk about Jesus is coming back. All right? It's probably been 5 or 6 years since I've even preached on this. I didn't plan on preaching on it this Sunday either, if you'd asked me last Sunday, but man, I'll tell you what, I got stirred up. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. In the 260 chapters of the New Testament, there are 318 references to the second advent of Christ. An amazing 1 out of every 30 verses, 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great event. For every prophecy in the Bible concerning Christ's first advent, there are 8 of which look forward to his second. That's from the Old and the New. The Old Testament looks past the church age to the second coming of Christ as well, too. So, if I'm going to preach the word, I need to preach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important to us. And you might think, well, what does the return of Jesus Christ have to do with my everyday life? It has everything to do with your everyday life. Our mission statement at Door of Life is threefold. Number one, to share in the love of Christ with the world and the church. Number two, to learn how to walk and live victoriously in your life, overcoming those sins and weights that so easily beset you. And number three, finding and fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life. That's it. Those three great mission statement truths are culminated in the understanding, in the expectancy that you have in your heart toward the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. The return. Jesus Christ is coming back in light of our mission statement at Door of Life, in light of the things that we know and that God has called us to do as a church, those three things, sharing the love of God. The first thing is God's love. He's coming back for you. He is coming back for you. In the same way he died on the cross for you, He's coming back for you. There is nobody he died for on the cross more than he died for you. There's nobody he's coming back for to the earth more than he's coming back for you. There is no respecter of persons with God. He loves you. He doesn't see caste systems. He doesn't see wealth structures. He doesn't see patriarchal or matriarchal or family structure systems of bloodlines. In Christ, neither male nor female, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, circumcision, not, that's all gone in Christ. He sees child of God. Only two kingdoms in this earth, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of his dear son. And when people get saved, they get translated out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Praise God. And he sees you. He's coming back. He's coming back for you. This ought to stir up the love of God. We had that great word this morning about the love of God, an everlasting love. Oh, there's a culmination of that love for you in his return. I'll tell you, when I saw that, praise God, it was an amazing thing. Romans puts it this way. It says in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I love that. If God is for us, and that was the sense that I had. You know, like I said, I'd kind of spread out my arms, and all of a sudden, it was like there was a scene two. Scene one was the earth scene, you know, where I'm having all these quick little thoughts. But then the second scene, as I was kind of anticipating the change in my body, all of a sudden it was like I went from earth looking at him off in a distance at his coming to all of a sudden I am in a place where it's not the earth anymore. It's just the glory of God. And I'm a lot closer to him. I'm really close up to him. There's a center, but it's just all glory now. I don't even see the circumference of the earth or dark circle. It's there, and there are people there. In fact, here's the weird thing about it. I saw some of you guys there. Yeah. Now, I know you all made it, okay? But here's the strange deal about dreams. God is, you know, we kind of like to know the nitty-gritty. God is trying to show us some things in general. And when I look in this place of glory, and I looked around, I said, I know this person and this person and this person and this person. Wow, praise God. You know, it's family. It really is like a homecoming. Like, wow. It was an amazing deal. But, you know, later when I woke up from the dream, I couldn't remember who it was that I saw. All I could remember was I knew people there at that time when I saw them in my dream. Very familiar faces. So it was like God was permitting me to know that, yes, this is the place. This event happens, and here's some people that you know. But when I woke up, it wasn't information I could pull through with me to the other side, other than the fact that I knew people that I see and knew were there. It was really, really amazing. But here's the cool thing, too. As I'm up there and I'm seeing people and fellow believers, people I don't know, just around, it's like I'm a lot closer to him. And then he is again, it's like a place of glory, and it's hard to, you know, describe it in terms of like a room or colors or things like that. It's not like that. It was just glory. And there were people. And all of a sudden, I just saw him. He was kind of right in the middle. And you can see, it was amazing to see his amazingly beautiful, kind face. His love in his face. You know, I just almost like, oh, this is the love. It's almost like love. We can kind of almost get a little poetic da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It is a love that went to that cross for us, that experienced the real suffering of a crucifixion for us. Because that's what it's a love, though, that was in his eyes and in his heart and his mind. You could see it. And all of a sudden, he turned and he looked at me. And the cool thing was, I looked right at him. And it was like, I didn't feel shame. I didn't feel whatever. I just, you know, it was just like, that's my Lord. Praise God. I felt his love toward me, and I didn't feel any. It was just like, praise God. And just his look at me, his smile, his countenance. And then he came over to me, and he began talking to me. Now, here's the cool deal. It wasn't any big, deep revelation spiritual truth. It wasn't, you know, earth-shaking. It was just casual conversation, Ed. And he just began to talk to me. And now here again, here is the same principle, same deal. He talked to me just about my life and just about events and things to where I knew that right now he is very keenly aware of my life, the events of my life, what's going on, every person surrounding my life, just very casually talking to me about my life, to me. And when I woke up again, I couldn't remember any specific things that he said to me. It wasn't supposed to be spiritual instruction. It was just to let me know that he cared about me. It just kind of, it was just a fellowship. You know, when I woke up, it's like, I just feel like I just want to carry on that conversation. Just talking. Like I can come boldly before the throne of grace and just obtain mercy and find grace to help. You know, just very, wow. It was when I experienced that, it was like, he cares for me personally. I experienced that. That was the takeaway. I couldn't pull the conversation through the dream other than the experience of just where our warm talking and chatting. And I'll tell you what, when I woke up, this is the scripture. Man, what should we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? I know God is for me. I know I'm not perfect. I know I got to grow up more spiritually and overcome stuff and learn more and all that stuff too. Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended or I'm already perfected, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Amen. Knowing God is for me. Praise God. I'll tell you what, that's what I pulled through. It wasn't five spiritual truths. I'd tell you if I got them. If I could remember them. I just wasn't permitted to remember the specifics. Other than that, the nature of the conversation was casual. Fellowship, caring, aware of my life and my events. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, that is a powerful truth. And you know, the scripture before that says, we are counted like sheep for the slaughter. I think of today and the persecution that's going on and the horrific stories that are going on that the enemy is using to try to provoke fear in the heart of Christians. In the scripture, because you got to realize, 2,000 years ago, we were getting fed to the lions. Christians, for their faith. This persecution has been going on. And you know, not only is there latter rain signs and wonders and dreams and visions, but there's also a latter rain of persecution. Like there was in the early reigns, too, of the Holy Ghost. And so there is a persecution that we're enduring. But what did it say in the face of these things? I'm persuaded none of these things will separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. His love is real. He is real. I pray and I intercede. Praise God for the persecution going on around the world. But I don't let it shake my faith in all these things. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded that these news reports cannot separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. But I'm just saying, when I just came out of that experience and it came through, it was like, Praise God, you know? What I'm going through down here, what I'm going through, it just, you know, he's for me. I know that for sure. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's just something about knowing that. His kind, gracious face. There was a great testimony I saw the other night on, it was at one of these old 700 Club classic deals. And Jan Crouch was sharing about how back in 73, I believe it was, she had gone through a depression, just horrible, horrific, you know, couldn't take care of her kids and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was really bad. And the Lord dropped a dream in her heart where she was just kind of walking along, and it was kind of Bible days, saw people in Bible clothes, and there was like this sea and some old fishing boats, and it was like you're, you know, back in Bible times. And just she's just kind of walking along in her dream, and all of a sudden she sees a group of people around it kind of by a tree, and then as she gets closer, she sees Jesus leaning against the tree, just kind of looking out at the waters. And it was just some guys and some ladies out there just kind of conversing, and you know, they were talking to him, he was talking back to them. He said, and all of a sudden, one of these guys, a disciple, whatever you want to say it, I don't know the exact timing frame, but just leaned over and whispered something in Jesus' ear. And she said, Jesus looked up at him, and she said, he began to laugh. He said, he began to laugh and laugh and laugh. And she said, when she saw Jesus laughing, she said, she began to laugh and laugh and laugh. If you experience that depression, she really did a good job of explaining. You can't laugh, you can't, you're just like a zombie. She said, in the middle of that dream, she saw him laughing. And she laughed and laughed. And she said she woke up in the bed just laughing. You know, hey, wait, I don't know if you have, that's really fun when it happens. I tell Julie, if you see me laughing in my sleep, don't wake me up. Just let me keep laughing. You know? Just, they don't happen a lot, you know, so I really want to get the full import of when that happens. And so anyway, I guess Jan woke up, and she was just laughing, and Paul, you know, who had just seen his wife going through, she just started laughing, and she said, the power of prayer, people praying for me, God got through to me in that dream, and she said, that joy, and she said, when she woke up laughing, she said, she realized the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, there's something about seeing his happy countenance toward you that can simplify the complications of depression in a moment. Everything bows its knee to Jesus Christ. And when you look up at his kind, gracious face toward you, oh my goodness, it's powerful. The love of God that secures all your insecurities. You know, it was like she said, it's like if you had permission to laugh again, permission to smile again, permission to live life again, permission to live for God. Just in the laughter, in the joy of his countenance, lies are exposed in a look of the joy of his face. I'm telling you, I saw his gracious face in this dream. And it was an amazing thing how it puts things into godly perspective. The love of God. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about the love of God because he's returning for you. That where he is, you may be also. The other thing is victorious living. That's the other element of Door of Life. Not just God's love, but victorious living and overcoming life. And the return of Christ has a purifying effect. Let's take a look. There's a few scriptures in John. Actually, it's one scripture in John, but because the Bible's broken up in chapter and verse like we have it, it looks like two scriptures, but actually, when it was originally written, it was just a single continuity of thought. But anyway, it starts out in 1 John 2:28. John says, now little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Again, really same passage, keeps going on, 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Oh, man. You know, you kind of hear, there's a strong connection between a godly life and a strong expectation of the return of Jesus. You know, there's just some things you won't do if you're strongly expecting him to appear at any moment. I'm glad I was just on a walk with my brother and my dad. I know the weights and sins that so easily beset me, as you know the ones that easily beset you. Aren't you glad? I'm glad, praise God, that when he came, hallelujah, praise God, I was ready and open. But isn't that amazing? Why is that powerful? That when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That tells me this is a real event that could happen. And to live in a way that you wouldn't be ashamed if he were to come. A great little testimony. The Lord wants us to live all the time as if today would be our last. John Wesley, who was asked at one time, what would you do if you knew tonight you would die? That great preacher of years gone by said, I would do exactly what I have scheduled to do. Could you say that? There is a purified expectation. There's a pure life that happens when you're living in expectancy of the Lord's return. Why is that? Why? You'll see it all throughout scriptures. When there is an expectancy, there is a purity that follows it. There's a zeal of righteous, godly living that accompanies a heart that is anticipating the return of the Lord. It goes hand in hand. Now, the question is, why do we have these exhortations in Scripture? Why do we see that? Is it to make us afraid and paranoid? Not at all. When you see these things, don't be afraid of that. Just realize that, wow, this is really going to happen. What am I going to be doing? This is scriptural. This isn't condemnation. This isn't fear. It's the reality that's going to really happen. And when that sky broke and he came through, it really, really happened on a day. And the majesty and the glory of it, all the theological arguments are gone. There he is. It's done. And it's really going to happen like that. He is really going to come. And when your heart is prepared like that, it causes you to live for him. That expectancy, it just goes hand in hand. You know, when he came the first time, not a lot of people got it. There were a few shepherds out in the fields. They got the angelic sky show. Couple. We know Anna. We know Simeon. There were some wise men. All right? They kind of got it. You know, Jesus, even when he was on his earth during his earthly ministry, he said, who do men say that I am? Peter got the right answer. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he had to get it by revelation knowledge. The Father in heaven revealed that to him. And when Jesus was on the earth, he would say things like, blessed are you because your eyes see and your ears hear. Many prophets and righteous men wanted to see the things that you're seeing and didn't see it. They wanted to hear these things you're hearing and they didn't hear it. What's he referring to? Thousands of years of messianic prophecies of people that were looking forward to his day. And it really happened. It really happened. He went to a real cross. Within that expectancy, there is just a spiritual accountability. It's a good, godly, healthy, righteous, scriptural, spiritual accountability. It's a diligence. And let me just put it this way. That expectancy, that accountability to want to be living godly, it's not a fear of missing heaven. I'm not afraid of missing heaven. I don't want to live godly and righteous because I'm afraid that I'm going to go to hell if I happen to be doing the wrong thing when he comes back. There's no fear in me of that at all. But when I saw what I saw, I'm telling you what. You do what you do out of respect for the one who hung on that cross for me. And when he comes back, I want to find him finding a life that's honoring him. And then this verse isn't condemnation. It makes sense. We don't have shame at his coming. No. I want to be living a life that... Let's put this on a much smaller scale. Let's go from Jesus all the way down to your favorite preacher. Let's say that favorite preacher is going to visit your house sometime this week. Friday. You don't know what hour, though. Busy schedule. So she could show up anywhere from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. What are you doing? You're preparing. You're preparing for the visit. You're getting ready. You're anticipating it. You're excited. Things are going to happen. Praise God. I mean, we're kind of doing it already, too. A Door of Life next month is we're hosting a minister's convention. Pastor Mark Hankins is going to be here, ministering to Rhema ministers from all over. And it's like, wow, praise God. We're getting excited. We're getting things in order. You're preparing things. You know, this is a minister. This isn't Jesus. This is just a minister. But what if your favorite was coming to your house, and all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, well, praise God, here we go. All right, we're going to get things ready. We're going to get things in order. But you don't know the hour they're going to show up. Busy schedule. Just get the cell phone mentality out of your head. Say we live back in time where we can't get pinpointed. But let's say somebody who just is that, and they're going to come, and they're going to come. I can tell you one thing. As they're getting ready, and as you are getting ready for them on Friday, whatever that is, the weights and the sins that so easily beset you aren't going to be besetting you on Friday. You're going to be looking. You're going to be preparing. Why? Because you respect that person. And you don't want to be doing a bunch of dumb, stupid, crazy things when they show up, just out of respect for the person. How much more? The one who loved us and gave himself for us. He's coming back. And it's not a preacher saying, how much more? It's the word saying, how much more? Don't be ashamed of his coming. Why? It's a real event and he's really coming. Living godly righteously is evidence of your belief in his return. His imminent return. Coming quickly. Coming quickly. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Was it the disciples who just thought he was coming quickly? No, it was Jesus who said, I am coming quickly. Behold, I am coming quickly. Jesus said it. Now, in terms of time, yeah, it's not like 5 minutes. In terms of our time, we think of quick. Obviously, God's time scale is different. But what he tells us is he's coming quickly. Be ready. It has a purifying effect. Colossians puts it this way. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's exactly what happened. It's really cool when you have a dream like that and then you go back and read scripture and you see, wow, that's cool. That exactly lined up. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience is not a backslidden Christian. Sons of disobedience is an unbeliever. Okay? So, you got to realize, though, we're not of that kingdom. But you see that? If that's real to you, then therefore, you put to death your members. This is where I'm heading. I'm heading for glory. It's hard to articulate when you have a dream like this in the reality of the return of Christ. It's not theology anymore. It's theology, but it's reality. This is going to happen. Your Jesus is returning for you. It motivates me to want to be living for him with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. Titus 2 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. You know, people sometimes almost think of an eagerness to the return of Christ as some kind of a wimpy escapism, da-da-da-da-da. No, it's scriptural and it's godly. It is scriptural and godly to be looking for the blessed hope and glory. Your posture is looking for him. That's expectancy. I am fully expecting. Man, I got a sense in my mind of what it's going to look like now. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. See this connection again of this godly living with the appearing of Jesus? Is it scriptural for a New Testament pastor to even talk about this? Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you, Pastor Titus. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I know there's popular stuff. Anything that could remind me of sin makes me sin conscious. Therefore, we gut the scripture of anything that could remind. No. We stay with the scripture. Stay with the Bible. If you got a little picture, that's nice, all right? Pictures and things like that, even a dream. It's nice. It can be helpful. It can help give us insight to the scriptures. But I never divide the scripture according to a picture. I divide that picture according to the scripture. And if something doesn't line up, the picture's got to change, not the word. I orientate how I divide the word of God, not around a picture, but around the word of God itself. This is important, especially as you're talking about the grace of God and living for Jesus. I'm telling you what, faith is released when you walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and you can't do the things that you would, and you don't do the things that your flesh would, and you by faith live for God, and you cry out to Jesus for his help and mercy and grace to help you in time, and you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It has a purifying effect, the hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it sets you free from the power of sin, not just from the debt and the penalty of sin, but the power of sin to live free for God here and now, while you're here to bear fruit for his kingdom. Ah, hallelujah. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has a purifying effect. Again, I'm not afraid of going to hell. I honor him. He's my Lord, Savior. We sing these stuff. I'll tell you what, worship isn't just in the songs we sing on a Sunday morning. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service or worship. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you offer your body as a living sacrifice, don't throw a legalism flag. No, that's reasonable worship. Hallelujah. It's reasonable. For as much that as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer, not to be a holiness, not to be holier than thou, that he should no longer live the rest of his life in the lusts of flesh, but to do the will of God. The doing the will of God is the motive for overcoming the flesh, to be productive in this short little vapor that we've got in the earth. And I'll tell you, a reality of his soon return puts a motivation in your spirit to live all out for God. With all, we could rephrase it like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When you do that, it's going to look like that. So phrase it however you want to. It's the same deal. But I'll tell you the second, that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church, it motivates you. Yeah, praise God. This thing's wrapping up. Got a vapor. I'm going to be about the Father's business. Finally, fulfilling God's purpose. What you do matters. What you do, oh, it's huge. Ephesians 2:10, this is amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Love that Ephesians 2:10. We're not just a Christian going to heaven. You're a Christian full of good works that God's ordained you to walk in. I'm telling you, you fulfilling your plan for your life is huge to the kingdom of God. I mean, what you do down here impacts the outcome of who's in eternity. It's not just what Jesus did for us on the cross globally, but we are co-workers together with him. We are co-laborers together with that redemptive work. And what we do matters. It has huge impact. Romans 8, 18 through 19. I consider the sufferings of this present time, as you're walking these things out, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Amen, amen, amen. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. You know, that event to me triggered the reality. Whoa, praise God, it's really happening. I'm going, the earth is going to be going, wow, all right. Our redemption isn't far behind. The earth was subject to futility, not, you know, willingly, but because of the fall of man. So the earth, creation is groaning for this event that is ultimately going to be happening. This incredible, the event of, you know, of the revealing of the sons of God, which happens up into the coming back for a glorious church, walking in the full power of God, but also that, you know, the Christ coming back for his church, it triggers the time clock even for the natural world. Here's the other thing, just kind of time-wise. And this is a scripture in 2 Thessalonians. It just says, let no one deceive you by any means. That day will not come unless a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what is restraining, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Okay, I know that's a lot of kind of heavy-sounding end-time theological stuff, and what I did was I got a little bit, just kind of a commentary snippet. I'm just going to go ahead and kind of read it. What you're seeing here is it's talking about the last day, the day of the Lord. That's really ultimately going to be that seven-year tribulation period, the day of the Lord when that happens, the unfolding of, you know, the 70th week of Israel. I'm not going to get into all the eschatology of it. But he says there's something that's restraining this mystery of lawlessness being revealed. There's something holding it back. And the commentator just kind of puts it that this is a Warren Wiersbe. He's a Baptist theologian, great, you know, godly man and well-noted, known. Who or what is this restrainer? Paul told the Thessalonians when he was teaching them personally, but he did not put this information in either of his letters. This restrainer is now at work in the world and will continue to work until it or he is taken out of the midst. That's the literal translation. Notice that in 2 Corinthians 2:6, Paul refers to this restrainer in the neuter gender, what restrains, while in 2:7, he uses the masculine gender, he who now hindereth. The restrainer is a person who is today in the midst, but will one day be taken out of the midst. Many Bible students identify this restrainer as the Holy Spirit of God. Certainly, he is in the midst of God's program today, working through the church to accomplish God's purposes. When the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit will not be taken out of the world, otherwise nobody could be saved through the tribulation, but he will be taken out of the midst to allow Satan and his forces to go to work. The Holy Spirit will certainly be present on the earth during the day of the Lord, but he will not be restraining the forces of evil as he is today. In spite of its weakness and seeming failure, never underestimate the importance of the church in the world. People who criticize the church do not realize that the presence of the people of God in this world gives unsaved people opportunity to be saved. The presence of the church is delaying the coming judgment. Lot was not a dedicated man. You can read about some stuff that happened with his life. But his presence in Sodom held back the wrath of God. There are two programs in the world today. God's program of salvation, Satan's program of sin, the mystery of iniquity. God has a timetable for his program, and nothing Satan does can change that timetable. Just as there was a fullness of time for the coming of Christ, so there is a fullness of time for the appearance of the Antichrist. And nothing will be off schedule. Once the restraining ministry of the Spirit of God is ended, the next event can take place. You are here for a limited time only. This is a short-term missions trip. You know, it's kind of cool being together with believers. But I'll tell you, if you come back to this place at 2 in the morning, it's dark, quiet, the lights are out, nothing. That's going to be the way it is when the church is gone. The lights go out. The restraining. You have no idea how much your prayers are affecting what's going on in the earth. Your prayers matter huge. God is restraining through you in the earth. Getting people saved, praying for people, helping out in any capacity, the giving, the supporting, everything. One body, many members. And thank God it's not your job to do everything. It's just your job to see, God, what part do you want me to do? And then do that with all your heart. And as you're doing it, you are valuably making this body work. You're having a huge impact. It's, you know, I guess that's the thing that I just, what you do, it matters. It's huge. You know, I just want to say, finally, you know, just when I looked at, you know, just as far as the dream element, you know, when I looked at the heaven, this is glory. This is before Jesus looked at me and we had the conversation. But I noticed there were like people, but I also, like there were almost some pockets of blank spots. I didn't get a thus saith the Lord. It's one of those things you reflect on afterwards and think about, maybe that's fruit that I'm going to bear to help fill some of those places in God's kingdom. We're down here for good works. He's ordained me. He's ordained you to walk in from before the foundation of the world. Everything that you do, everything that you do in this life is hugely important. But only to tell you a mystery, we should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was at that moment, I saw his majesty coming down out of the sky. I knew my right was a gift. I wasn't leaning on anything that I had done to go up. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I am with him. Praise God. It is by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works at all. Man, the things that I do to honor my Lord, to bear fruit because I see the big picture. I get it. Praise God. Don't let anybody turn a legalistic eye or, you know, chide you for living all out. All your heart to live and godly and righteously, and you're called to do that. Purify for himself a people zealous for good works. That's part of what we're here to do. But I love that. Then we'll be, goes, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is the therefore for this whole deal. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Again, here's the message, same verse. With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Praise God, praise God. In fact, here it is. Last few verses of the scriptures. Behold, this is Jesus. These words are in red. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I live for all my heart with God. I do. I live rightly. I live godly. I overcome areas of the flesh that I might do the will of God in the earth. I am doing it. Why? I'm telling you, what you do does not add an ounce to your righteousness. But what you do has everything to do with the reward that he has coming for you. And that reward, and don't think of it in terms of selfishness. There's a reward for you that will bless you. Think about that. He is coming, his reward is with him to give to everyone according to his work. Again, I can't fill in all those blanks. I can just say what it says. But I know that his reward's with him, and I know that he's going to give to everyone according to his work.
I don't know how you can theologically flower it up any more than that. But what you do matters. And I don't know what it's going to look like when he hands me that whatever it is, whether it's tangible or intangible, but it's going to be something that's coming from his heart to me to say thank you for what I did for him while I was on this earth in this fallen flesh. Wow. That doesn't put your finger on the post. Yeah, look at my heap. No, it doesn't do anything like that at all to you. Not somebody who's living for God. It honors you. It causes you to throw your crown at his feet and worship him. You're just thankful you got something more to throw at his feet to worship him with. I'm telling you what, this stuff is real. Heaven is for real because spiritual things are real. If spiritual things weren't real, heaven isn't for real. Spiritual things are real. That's why heaven's for real. His return is for real. He is really, really coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for you. Ain't no one he's coming back for more than he's coming back for you. He showed me in that dream eye contact with me. You're going to experience his eye contact with you. I'm telling you what, there's stuff that can just break off your life now when you, by faith, get that eye contact going. You don't even have to have a big, it passes your understanding. Oh, thank God, it doesn't have to go through your understanding for the healing to work. No, it can actually bypass your understanding and keep your heart and mind in Christ, peaceful, just by seeing him. It's an amazing, amazing thing. He gives you some glimpses of some stuff that'll change you. It's a purifying hope. Praise God. Why? Because he's real. There's a preacher coming to my house someday, and his name is Jesus. And I don't know when he's going to knock on that door, but I'll tell you what, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. That's not condemnation. No, that's just Bible out of a real revelation that he's really coming soon. And this is really going to happen. And I'm not going to be stooped down with off some theological, you know, concepts that pull me out of my focus on Jesus. He is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Thank God. I love him. I love what he's done for me. I love that he's made me righteous in my spirit. He didn't make me righteous in my spirit so I can just stop and camp out on the fact that I'm righteous in my spirit. He made me righteous in my spirit so that I could put to death the deeds of the body and do the will of God in the earth and bear fruit for his glory. That's why. You put it all together. We don't take select, cherry pick certain chapters of the Bible. We put it all, we keep all, we're not afraid of any passage of Scripture. Praise God, it all works together. And it is there, and he loves you, and I'm telling you what, as you realize that it's a purifying hope, you're ready for him. You're anticipating him. Finally, what you do matters. What you do matters. Everything. Your labor, it's not in vain. It's here for a purpose. And he's going to reward you according to the deeds done in the body. You know, when we talk about end times and stuff, you usually get two overriding themes. And they're both equally true. Man, live for God like he's not coming back in your lifetime. And by that, I mean, don't be complacent about things he's called you to do, thinking, oh, he's going to come anytime, so why mess with that? No, do everything he's called you to do as though you've got all your years ahead of you. Don't be complacent in what he's called you to do. And yet live like he's coming back at any moment. They're complementary truths. They're both equally true. There's a zealousness to be about the Father's business, not complacent, and yet living godly in Christ in a way that honors and pleases him. Here's a song that typifies the first truth. Living out your life. Lay down your head tonight. Take a rest from the fight. Now, this is a song that was given to Stephen Curtis Chapman. You know, artists, singers, they're just like us. They go through stuff. They experience stuff. They're used for God. They have their why God questions. They got all kinds of stuff. But here's a song he wrote as it relates to what we're talking about here this morning. Lay down your head tonight. Take a rest from the fight. Don't try to figure it out. Just listen to what I'm whispering to your heart. Because I know this is not anything like you thought the story of your life was going to be. And it feels like the end has started closing in on you. But it's just not true. There's so much of the story that's still yet to unfold. And this is going to be a glorious unfolding.
Just you wait and see, and you will be amazed. You've just got to believe that the story is so far from over. So hold on to every promise God has made to us and watch this glorious unfolding. God's plan from the start for this world and your heart has been to show his glory and his grace, forever revealing the depth and the beauty of his unfailing love, and the story has only begun. We were made to run through fields of forever, singing songs to our Savior and King. So let us remember this life we're living is just the beginning of the beginning of this glorious unfolding. We will watch and see. We will be amazed. And if we just keep on believing the story is so far from over and hold on to every promise God has made to us, we'll see the glorious unfolding. Just watch and see unfolding. This is just the beginning of the beginning unfolding. There's that expectation. Praise God. I'll tell you, I got some why God questions. Yeah, but the story isn't over yet. Stuff's still going on. You may watch a movie. You don't turn it off in the middle. The plot's still unfolding. You stay with it. Well, don't turn your movie off now just because it got a little, you know, or a lot, you know, plot thickening. Stay with the story. It's still unfolding. He's still working things together for the good in the way you can't see right now in your finite understanding. Stay with it. Praise God. And here's the other side of encouragement, just a song that kind of tells us to be expectant at any moment. As I look around me in these days we're living in, I question how much longer will it be till the Father reaches over to touch his son on the shoulder and say, Jesus, go bring our family home to me. And only the redeemed shall hear his voice on that day as he comes in clouds of glory to catch us all away. The graves will then burst open, the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive in Jesus will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Up to now we've been looking through a glass so dark and dim, and only a few mysteries have we known. But I sense now in my spirit his returning is upon us. And with a shout and God's trumpet, we'll soon be gone. And only the redeemed shall hear his voice on that day as he comes in clouds of glory to catch us all away. The graves will then burst open. The dead in Christ will rise. And we which are alive in Jesus will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming back. He's coming back for you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just stir ourselves up this morning in the fact that the same way, the same manner that he went up, he is going to return in like manner. And he is returning for us. Lord, we thank you. You so love us. I pray the love of God through this message. I pray that this precious congregation would get the glimpse that I got of that kind face, that good shepherd. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, face of compassion. That face that has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities and can sympathize. Walk the mile in our shoes. Oh, Father, I pray that face would pierce through the darkest depression in this place this morning, would simplify the complications, and that each one in this place would know one thing: God is for me, and nothing can separate me from that kind face. He is for me, and he will be faithful to complete that good work he began in me. He's the author of it, and he will finish it. Jesus, I just dedicate myself fresh and anew. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Jesus, I dedicate myself fresh and anew to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength to love you. I know you're coming back. You're coming back for me. I believe it. What I do matters. I'm not just a Christian.
I'm your workmanship, created for good works. Show me those good works, Father. I want to bear much fruit. When you come, I want to be honoring you with all my life. Jesus, thank you for loving me through the storms. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.